You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Awesome. So anyway, last week we finished our Have a Laugh sermon series. We saw 86 people give their lives to Jesus Christ last week. And we saw about 130 people give their lives to Jesus over the last 3 weeks. And so that's exciting, right? And it's just been fantastic what God has been doing here at Eternity Church. Have you ever heard me say something, or have you ever heard me share something with you, maybe in a conversation, something that God put on my heart, something that I'm believing for? And have you ever heard me do that and then thought to yourself, dude, straight up crazy? Yeah? Yeah, come on, you can be honest right now. Have you ever gone, man, that dude's straight up crazy, right? Yeah, I know. The people closest to me have. Like, I've said, this is what I think God's telling us to do. And people are like, dude, you're crazy. You're straight up insane. They make pills for people like you. You should go take one, right? That happens to me a lot, right? And so I shared what I wanted to do. I shared what was going on, and people thought I was crazy. But lots of God's people are thought to be crazy, right? Right? Come on, a lot of you all are crazy too. Come on, because we have faith that God, that they can't see, is going to do something great in our life, but God makes a fool of what they say makes sense. Amen? So we're a bit crazy, and I was convinced that God said to do that sermon series titled Have a Laugh, and I was convinced that God said to invite a comedian to close out that sermon series on the last week, and I was convinced that God said to invite Michael Jr., the country's best comedian who's been on Jimmy Fallon, Saturday Night Live, Oprah, and all of those shows to come and do it for us because he's a Jesus-loving, God-fearing man, and I was convinced that we should invite him, that he would say yes, and that people would get saved, that people's lives would be changed even then. And you know what? Someone told me I was crazy. A pastor told me I was crazy. Told me that, you know what, maybe a ticketed event after the sermon series, but you don't want to get the comedian to come and preach at your weekend services, bro. And I'm like, well, mate, I do. Because when God speaks, if you believe him, you start to think on it, dream about it. The more you dream about it, the more you think, maybe this will happen. I said, yo, people are going to get saved. God's going to turn mourning into dancing. People who have been living in sorrow, carrying a big bag of sorrow on their back, are going to get joy from the Lord. Amen. And that's exactly what happened. Because what you believe God can do impacts what you think about and what you dream about. What you think and dream about impacts what you get to see God do. See, I believe God's big. Like, big. You know when you say how big God is, for some reason you need to deepen your voice. It doesn't sound as good when you say it like this. I believe God's big. Sounds better, doesn't it, with a deep voice. I believe God's big, all right? I believe in a big God. I believe in a wide God, in a deep God, in a high God. I believe in a huge God with unlimited resources and power. And because I believe that, I think about the kinds of things that a God like that could do in my life, through my life, around my life. And because I'm thinking about that, imagining that, dreaming that, and asking for that, I get to see God do big things. If you want to see God do big things, start thinking about the big things God can do. Start asking God for the big things that God can do. Amen? So every sermon I preach, every single sermon, I imagine and think about how people are going to respond to the sermon. I imagine how God's going to change lives through it because I believe sermons are important. I believe that God gave me the words, and I believe that if God gave me the words, then the words are gonna change lives, amen? And as a faith-building exercise, after I've written my sermon and practiced it and thought about it, and I want to tell you, church, I don't wing it. You know, some people are like, man, that guy must wing it because he's just crazy. No, I actually do put some effort in, all right? Thursday, Friday, sermon writing days, practicing days, praying about it days. And so after I do that, I sit down, I mull it over in my mind, I think about it, I dream about all that God can do in me, in you, in us, through us, all around this place. I dream about what God's going to do because I believe that there should never be a sermon preached that doesn't change people's lives. I'm not up here trying to give you information. I'm up here trying to be a conduit of the power and the life-changing blessing of God. And that's what I want to see happen every time. Amen? Now today, I'm going to talk about dreaming because it's been a long time since we've preached on dreaming in our church. Now, in our church, we talk about dreaming and imagining the power and the wonder of God all the time. But it's been 3 years, I checked, since I preached a sermon on dreaming. So I thought, well, I'm going to get on that today. Next week, we're going to preach on forgiveness. So look at your neighbor. Look at them right now. Next week, you're going to forgive them. It's funnier in my head, but it's going to be good. So make sure you come back next week or tune in next week if you're going to be away. That's going to be a great sermon. I believe there's going to be freedom in people's hearts, freedom for people who have had bitterness held against them, freedom from people who are living in the bitterness. And God's just going to do a great thing for you there. If you're sitting there and you go, well, no one hates me and I don't hate anyone and no one's holding unforgiveness towards me and I don't have any toward anyone, well, praise God, that's fantastic. Listen to the sermon so you know what to share with people who are living it themselves. Amen. And so who's ready for the word on dreaming? 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14 to 20. Look it up. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14 to 20. It's going to be a great day today. Let me set this up for you while you're looking for it there. Right here we've got Elisha, the man of God, the prophet of God. We've got Jehoash, the king of Israel. And we have the Israelites. Next door we have Syria. And the Syrians have invaded and taken over a portion of Israel's land. Syria is oppressing the Israelites. The Israelites are feeling oppressed. They're feeling the pressure. They're in fear. They need a miracle from God. And that's where we'll pick it up right here. Talking now about the man of God, Elisha. Now, Elisha was suffering from the illness from which he died. That's the brilliant introduction to the dreaming scripture. Elisha is sick and he's gonna die. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. My father, the chariots in Israel, sorry, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha said, excuse me, get a bow and get some arrows. So the king did as he was told. Take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said, and so he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the Lord's arrow of victory over Aram, Elisha declared. You will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, take the arrows. The king took the arrows. How many arrows? Take the arrows, take all the arrows. How many arrows? Take the arrows, take all the arrows, right? And so the king took the arrows. He took all the arrows. And Elisha told him, strike the ground. And so he struck it three times. Bang, bang, bang. And then he stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times and then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will only defeat it three times. Elisha died and was buried. The end of story. That's the story for today. How exciting. Elisha is suffering from the sickness from which he will die. Story, story, story. Elisha's dead. Now dream. It's kind of messed up, isn't it? Elisha, he's going to die. He's sick. Story. Elisha's angry. Elisha's dead. Now what? Should have struck it five or six times, and then you would have been in complete victory and complete healing, complete wholeness. But now, instead, you're going to kick them out of your land, but they'll still oppress you, they'll still attack you, they'll still be at your borders. See, first he has him shoot an arrow eastward toward the part of his kingdom the Syrians had overtaken. This first arrow was a declaration of war against them for the invasion. And Elisha had made it very clear that the firing of that first arrow was a faith step in victory. That arrow was a faith step in victory. He's declaring war and he will have victory. They're acting it out. They're symbolizing it. They're dreaming about it. And shooting the other arrows into the ground was in faith the number of victories that he would have. But stopping at the third shot with a quiver still full of arrows portrayed his weakness in his faith. Now, in the context here, see, some of us were like, he said, shoot arrows. So he shot arrows. Why are you angry, dude? Like, what's wrong? You know, he did what you asked, but he didn't. Elisha said, take the arrows. Take all the arrows. Fire the arrows. Fire all the arrows into the ground. The man fired three, symbolizing his weakness in faith. In context, he knew this was game time. This was practice. This was faith time. This was symbolic, and it was obvious to him that the more arrows he fired into the ground, Elisha was saying, the man of God was saying, the more victories that he would have. And why did he stop? Why did he stop at three? See, Elisha came in fear. My father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. He's in fear. What did he want? He come in fear. Elisha says, do this. He's like, fine. Strike the ground. Fine. Tap, tap, tap. We all want magic fixes, don't we? And we all just want to come up to God and say, yo, big fella, big powerful guy, I have a problem in my marriage. Could you simply say abracadabra and fix it right now? We do that all the time, don't we? Like, we got a problem in our marriage. We got a problem with something in our lives. And we go to the Lord and we say, God, can you fix it? And God says, okay, strike the ground. And we're like, you know what? It'd be easier if you just said abracadabra and it'd be fixed. No, that would be way cooler. And God says, tell your wife what you did. Tell your husband what you said. And we're like, you know what? Tap, tap, tap will be just fine right now. Can we just do that? See, we want magic fixes all the time, don't we? Anyone else, right? Hey, it's all right. I do too. It would be way cooler if I just, God's like, hey, this church is going to grow. People are going to get saved. And I'd be like, all right, just do that and I'm a watch. Whoa, it didn't happen. What happened up in here? See, Jehoash simply wanted Elisha to say, abracadabra, it's done. He didn't like the idea of walking through the victories. He didn't want to think about what God could do. He either didn't believe it or he didn't care. If my kingdom was surrounded or being attacked and God said, Jesse, take the arrows, I'll take the arrows. Fire the arrows, I'll fire the arrows. I would go bang, 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 five, six, unload my quiver. And then when it's empty, I'd pull them all back out and go again and again and again. And I would pull them out and go again and again and again until God says, Jesse, that's enough. Look, it's done. That's when I'll stop firing the arrows. When God says, look up, they have been defeated, not just symbolically, but in the natural too. They are done. See, faith takes more than a token gesture or prayers that we pray to get God off our backs. Faith takes more than a tap, 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 tappy. Too good for your home ball. Sorry, Happy Gilmore just there. Faith takes more than a tap, tap, tap. A token prayer or a token gesture that we pray to get God off our backs. God, I'd love it if my mom got saved. Peace. And that's it? What? Like, allow some hope in there. Have the courage to dream and think about that for a little bit. Have the courage to tell somebody what God told you is going to happen. Amen. Come on, don't just token gesture your way through life. Why did Jehoash not keep shooting? Honestly, I don't think he had the courage to dream. He didn't want to think about it. He didn't want to dream about it, much less act it out. Yeah, anyone here ever watch any medical dramas on TV, like House or Chicago Med or Scrubs or that other one, ER, or the other one with Meredith Grey, Grey's Anatomy, and then the other one with her sister, Meredith Purple Anatomy, like all these shows, right? They're everywhere, right? One thing you learn in there is you should never give somebody false hope, right? They always tarry that. Don't give them false hope. They got cancer. But there is a 0.5% chance that we were wrong and they don't have cancer. And so the young doctor comes in and goes, I think we should tell them that they might not have cancer. And the attending says, don't do that. Don't give them false hope. You don't want them to live through that again, right? And so what we do is, because hope's dangerous, right? Hope's dangerous. If you have hope, you have the opportunity to get hurt again. So they say, don't do that. Thing is, in the kingdom of God, there's no such thing as false hope. There's only hope and no hope. And if you're in the kingdom and God has spoken, there's only hope. And so we got to let the hope in. Amen. If you're going to praise Him, praise Him. Dreaming takes courage. It's dangerous to let the hope in. So you've got to believe God at His word if you're going to dream about it, if you're going to think about it, if you're going to imagine the possibilities of what God could do. So whether God has spoken to you or if there are things that God is asking you to do, don't respond with a petty, effortless tap, tap, tap. Get out your bow and strike it repeatedly, repeatedly. Never stop. Boom, boom, boom. Never stop. Never, never, never stop dreaming about what God has promised you until you see the victory in front of your very eyes. Amen. Dream about it. Imagine God doing it in your life. Has He spoken to you about your hip being healed? Has He spoken to you about that cancer being healed? Has He spoken to you about your back being healed? Has He spoken to you about your voice being healed? Whatever it is, if God has spoken to you about, start to dream about walking in the victory. Start to dream about what it'll be like to get up out of bed in the morning without having to reach for help, without having to reach for the pain pills and a glass of water before you even move. If God has spoken to you about your family being saved, about your business doubling, about having a job or being successful in your career. If God has said it, don't give Him three tap, tap, taps. Get enthusiastically passionate about what God said that He will do. Have the courage to dream and don't stop till you see it happen before your eyes. Amen. But the question is, what do we do in the gap? There's always a gap, isn't there? Right? Over here, this is the promise. Where is it? Oh, there it is. I found it. Over here's the promise, right? But the provision's over there, right? Now, for some of us, it could be 2 days, it could be 2 years, it could be 2 decades between the promise and the provision. The provision will come, I promise you that. If you hang on to the word that God has put in your heart, the provision will come. But what do we do between here and there? If God promises you a Ferrari, He promises it here, and the provision's over there. Now, if He promises you a Ferrari, number one, you'll be the first person that I know of that God has ever promised a Ferrari to, all right? But I want to use a big faith example, is that all right? Because I'm telling you right now, if God promises me a Hyundai Getz or a Hyundai Sonata, it's not a big one, you know, for me. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go get one off the junkyard for $8, all right? But in Australia, Hyundais have like a very, very bad reputation. I apologize if you drive one. I love you, and I love that you have a car. Now, back to the Ferrari, though, because it's way cooler. All right, if God promises you that, right, what do you do in the gap there? Because there is a gap, isn't there? He very rarely says, I promise you I'm going to give you this, and then you open your eyes, you're like, whoa, that was fast. There's a gap. What do we do in that gap? We got to dream about it. We've got to tell people about it. We've got to stand on faith and actually step out and risk something by saying to someone, this is what God told me He's going to do. And then I've been thinking about what it'll be like. It's going to be amazing what God's going to do. Because do you believe that God is powerful? Not rhetorical. Do you believe that God is powerful? Yeah, do you believe that God can intervene in your situation? Do you believe He wants to? See, that's the thing. A lot of people believe that God can. A lot of people believe that God's able. Some people don't believe that He wants to. God made you. You are a son and a daughter of God. God made you. He wants to intervene. He wants to help you. Will you allow Him? Will you receive that from Him? Will you receive the word of God into your life? And then will you stand on it, have faith, and believe it till the day that it happens before your eyes? See, listen carefully. I always say this. I love this. What we dream about speaks everything about what we believe God can do. The things we imagine, the things we dream about, the things we think about, the possibilities that we think that God could do in our lives, that speaks a multitude about what we believe God is able to do. So you move to this country with nothing. You don't have to dream about dying with nothing. God can do more than that. All right? God can do more. You can dream and imagine and contemplate the endless possibilities of an almighty God. Amen. God is not limited by what people say he can do. And what we believe God can do says everything about who we believe God is, doesn't it? You know that? If you believe God cannot lift this off the floor, that tells me a lot about who you think God is. If you believe that God is the God who created the heavens and the earth, the universe and everything on earth that has breath and everything in space that exists, if you believe that is who he is, then you believe that he can do something miraculous in your life. Amen. Therefore, who you believe God is should permeate what we believe God can do and what we believe God can do. And what we believe God is willing to do in our lives should permeate our hopes and our dreams. God is into dreaming. This is not a sermon where it's like, oh, cool word, dreaming. Yay, everybody talks about hopes and dreams. No, God is into dreaming. You hear that? God's into it. He's all about it. God is into faith. Did you know that? He's into it. He's all about it. God is into you having faith. God is into, as Scripture said, see, Scripture says that faith is calling things that are not as though they are, right? Calling things that are not as though they are, right? God is into calling things that are not as though they are. That's how the earth happened. Whether you believe in the Big Bang or six literal days of creation, there was nothing, nothing at all. And then God spoke, and then there was something. There was nothing. And then God called something that was not as though it was, and then there was something. Let there be light. And then there was something. Ephesians 3:20 says, now glory be to God by his mighty power at work within us, who is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. Did you catch that? Touch your neighbor, say, wake up. Touch your other neighbor, say, did you catch that? Did you catch that? God can do more than we can ask him for, and God can do even more than we can even dream of. Listen to this. You need to get this. This is awesome, all right? Scripture is assuming, or for you Americans, assuming that we are using our minds to dream and imagine the mighty things God can do. Scriptures are implying it. It's assuming that we are imagining, that we are dreaming about what God can do in our lives. And it's implying that we're asking for these things. You know something I dream about in my life? I dream about my midgets. I got 5 kids, all right? In our household, they're called the midgets, all right? And even when they're bigger than me, they will still be the midgets, all right? I've got 5 kids. That's a lot of kids. When you have 5 kids, you need to keep your finger on the pulse, because it can go from a full, nice, beautiful home to tornado and no home in like 8 seconds, right? It's true. It's amazing, right? You can clean the whole house and turn around and go, what the heck happened? I thought I just cleaned that. Where did that come from, right? Anyone else in here got 5 kids or more, 5 or more kids? Okay, good. I'm not the only silly psycho in the room. Silly psycho sausage, right? We're all crazy. I dream about my 5 kids' future. I think about how much I'm going to enjoy Christmas in 10, 25 years. All my kids are married to wonderful, godly people. Imagine seeing my sons and daughters praying with their sons and daughters. I think about their future. I dream about what it'll be like for them as worship leaders, as pastors or soldiers or electricians or lawyers or garbage collectors or whatever it is that God's called them to do with their lives. I know that if they're called to be a lawyer or a garbage collector, whatever it is, if they're living in the will of God, if they're serving God, if they're in the house of God and spending time in his presence, I I know that everything will be just fine, that everything will be wonderful, that there'll be trials, but they will overcome because they're in the house of God. I dream about all of my kids loving and serving God in their futures, and I get excited about it because I know that as I continue to cover them in prayer, that God can set it up. You know, I dream about your kids too. I dream about your family as well. I think about our church in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And I think about your family living in the victory of God. I see your family walking out the doors in victory. I see you and your husband, you and your wife celebrating the wonder of God in your family because there was trials, but then there was a God who came and then there was victory in the name of Jesus. I'm dreaming about that. I'm dreaming about your family getting saved, your mom getting saved, your dad getting saved, your Uncle Joe getting saved. I'm dreaming about it, amen. I'm dreaming about your spouse getting out of jail, coming into the house of the Lord and giving their lives to Jesus. I'm dreaming about all the different possibilities and the wonder of God in your lives. And I even dream about your kids and my kids running this place one day. But give me 30 years, at least 29. I'm good for another 29, all right? I'm going to do that. You can take that to the bank. I will be here. But one day, they're going to be running this place. They're going to be preaching the gospel. They're going to be seeing souls saved, influencing the world with this gospel of grace and peace from right here in Iowa. I dream about this auditorium being too small, about seeing hundreds of Connect Group leaders running hundreds of Connect Groups all around the city. I dream about the new auditorium that we'll build out there on the east side of this building. And I dream about this room being the youth hall. I think about it. I'm looking forward to the day where 86 people getting saved is a low number, a great number, a wonderful number, but a low number compared to the average people that we're seeing get saved on a regular weekend. I dream about it. I think about it. And I love what God can do. Why do I imagine it? Why do I think about all of that stuff? Because I know he's going to do it. He told me he's going to do it. He told me he's going to do it, and I believed him. I dare to have enough faith to believe that the word of the Lord in my heart is true and that he will do what he says he'll do. So far, he's done everything. Lauren and I moved here with basically nothing, but we moved with 12 boxes, and that's it. 12 boxes of stuff we really are like, why did we bring that? Why didn't we bring that? And God has done tremendous things. Tremendous things. So when God does it, I'm going to be ready for it, or as ready as I can be, right? Because he's going to do more than I think or imagine, isn't he? He has so far. I imagine there being maybe 400 people in church by now, not 850 every weekend, you know, like God has done more than I imagine. And when God trusts me with it, I have practiced trusting him with it. See, dreaming's an act of faith, right? It's not some stupid little idea. Stop dreaming about that. You know, it's an act of faith. Everything you see on this planet started as a dream. God dreamed it up. There was no camel. You know what? Let's make a camel. Boom, there's a camel. That's cool, right? I think it's way cooler than you do, obviously. Just look at your neighbor. That didn't exist, and then God made that, right? Like, come on, God made you. God made everything. God made every animal, every hill, mountain, flower, every weed. And someone once told me there's no such thing as a weed. There's just plants in the right place, all right? God made everything we see, and it is beautiful, right? And none of it existed before God thought of it. Everything that you see, every business, every vehicle, every technological advancement, every microphone, the ability to live stream, everything that happens didn't exist, and then someone called something that was not as though it was, and then it was. You need to dream. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down these next things, okay? I'm going to got 3 points for you real quick. I know some of y'all are like, but it's time to end the service. No, it's cool. We got a few more minutes, all right? We can do this, all right? Here's 3 things that God gives you permission to do. Here's 3 things that God encourages you to do when it comes to your dreams, all right? First, dare to ask for it. Dare to ask God for something. Can you do that? Dare to ask him. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now glory be to God by his mighty power at work within us, who is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask for." You know when people say to you, "How dare you ask for that?" God wants those kind of requests. "How dare you ask me for that?" God wants those kind of requests. We needed him to send his son to die on a cross for us. How dare we need that? How dare we ask for that? But we needed it and we got it and we've been saved, set free and sanctified because of it. Amen. God wants us to ask for the things that other people wouldn't dare ask for, let alone dream of. So first, write it down. Dare to ask. Second, believe God's promises. Jeremiah 32:27. "I am the Lord, the God of all the people of the world." Who, hands up if you live in the world. I want to make sure you're awake and still participating. You live in the world? Fantastic, all right? This is your God. "I am the Lord, God of all the people of the world." Is anything too hard for me? Nothing is too hard for him. Do not let an impossible situation intimidate you. Let it cause your faith to grow stronger. Believe more. Stand on the word of God. When something impossible comes up against you, when the devil comes up against you, just fan that little spark of faith in your heart all up into a flame. Grow stronger. Get more stubborn on the word of God and say, "God will do what God said he will do." Amen. And thirdly, dream big. Ask me, scripture says. This, listen to this. Talk about a request in Psalm 2, verse 8. "Ask me, and I'll give the nations as your inheritance and the ends of the earth as your possession." That's a big ask. That's a big deal, all right? Ask me. Ask me. Church, God answered that prayer. He has given us the nations, all right? We have the ability now to declare the gospel, to go into all the world and preach the gospel like God has called us to do, amen? Dream big. Would you stand up with me as we get ready to close out the service? In a few minutes, we're going to have an opportunity for people to come down the front and get prayer. Who am I talking to? I'm talking to people who have lost faith. If you're watching online, you can comment and write what you need prayer for. People from our team are watching that right now and they will pray for you right where you stand as well. So you can comment there too. But if you've lost faith, we haven't. I'm not saying we're better than you, we just haven't. We're really good at getting around people who have faith, even if ours gets a little weak. Faith is kind of like fire. It's catching. It's contagious. So if you've lost faith, Brandon hasn't, Aaron hasn't, Joe hasn't, I haven't. In a moment, the people in the front row are on my left, they're going to clear that space for you in a moment. And if you've lost faith, step into the aisle, walk down the front, over to my left, and catch faith again. We've got enough to give you some of ours. You can borrow our faith for a couple of days. How's that sound, all right? And we want to pray for you. Something that God spoke to you about that you've stopped thinking about because it's like letting hope in and it feels painful. But you don't need to let that pain come in with that hope because there's only hope. And if God said it, it's going to happen. Okay, it's going to happen, all right? "Oh, yeah, but I'm 79 now. Yeah, well, God ain't dead. He's still there, right? It's still going to happen, all right? If you lost faith, come on down. We're going to pray for you. Maybe you need a miracle in your marriage, in your finances, in your body. Maybe you need healing for something. Don't be that guy. Don't be that gal. That God's standing in front of you saying, and I'm not saying me, that God's here saying to you, "What do you want? I can do it." And you're like, "You know what? I need my marriage fixed, but I'm going to try one more week on my own without you. And then if I'm not divorced by Thursday, on Sunday, I'll come and maybe see if you can help." Hands up if you think that's a really bad plan. Yeah, good, good. It's a stupid plan, right? Come today. If you needed $100,000 and I stood before you and said, I have $100,000, come and get it, y'all would be up here in a second to get the $100,000. Your marriage is worth far more than $100,000. And God stands before you saying, I can fix it. So don't wait. Don't run out the door with the same struggle to come in the door with. Let hope back in. Let God back in. It's miracle time. So we're going to do that. Maybe you've got a sin that you've been struggling with that's hurting you, your marriage, your family, or just yourself. I don't know. I'm going to give you one real cool key that someone gave me a long time ago for overcoming a sin, a struggle in your life. I used to lie a lot. This is not my only issue I've ever had. I've had lots of issues, but I used to lie a lot when I was about 18. I went to college and I made up stories about my family. See, I guess I thought that my family was less than theirs because we had divorce and alcoholism and drug addiction, all that stuff. So I made up stories about our family. What's funny is, even in church I did that. I'd make it up. Hey, tell me about your family. Well, my dad's president of the United States of Australia, the USA. My brother's this, my sister's that. No, instead of, you know, they got a kid with this guy and a kid with that guy, and there's five different combinations of mum and dad to make up the eight brothers and sisters that I have. So I'd lie about it all the time. Until I remembered that my family loves Jesus. That's a redemption story, by the way. The truth was better than the lie. But I couldn't stop lying. Sometimes I'd lie, I'd tell a story, and I'd literally be there like, flipping heck, why'd I even say that? Like, why? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? And I couldn't stop. People started to know that I was a liar. That hurt more than the actual original stories, the truth, you know? And someone told me that I need to start dreaming about what it would be like to be set free. So I did. So I started to think about and dream about what it would be like to be the guy that people say things like, if Jesse said it, it's for sure true. If he said it, it's gonna happen. If Jesse said that, then that is true. Start to think about what it'd be like to be a guy whose integrity is so strong that it's talked about when he's not in the room. And then I started to fall in love with that guy, being that guy. And then I started to believe that God could set me free. I don't know what your problem is. It might be lying, it might be porn, it might be cheating, it might be stealing from work, it might be something else. I don't care what it is. I'm not even telling you, you need to go and tell them that you did it. Nah, I'm not telling them, yeah, I stole from you. Nah, I don't care. I'm telling you that we can change from today onwards. I'm not worried about that. Oh, well, from this bit. Let's worry about this bit, moving forward, okay? Dream about what it would be like to be the person that doesn't do that anymore. Don't give up. I know I nearly gave up. You know when you get to that moment where you're like, I can't do this, so I'm just going to live in it instead? It's not because you're stupid. It's not because you're an idiot. It's not even because you're a bad person. We just get tired of fighting. Do not give up the struggle. Keep dreaming. Keep believing. Keep hoping that you will be the person that God promised you He will make you. And you will. Amen. And come and get prayer as the first step today. We're going to do that in about 2 minutes. But first, I want to know who in this place needs to give their life to Jesus. God is good. He's so good. We never close a service without giving people an opportunity to give their life to Jesus. Today's the same. Online, you can do this. In the room, we can do this. You can come and meet with one of our staff and do it after the service. But do not leave this place. Do not close this service out without taking the opportunity to find freedom, to find salvation from your sin, to find hope for a better future, to find blessing for a better life, to find freedom from shame and pain and healing from all the damage that that has done in your life. Don't leave this place without that. God stands before you today and He simply says, I've got a new life for you. Do you want it? To say yes. Scripture says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you will be saved. It does not say if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, stop sinning, stop looking at porn, stop lying, stop being a hooker, stop cheating, stop No, it doesn't say that. It says believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved. Okay? You can have one of or all of those things that I just mentioned in your life and be saved. It's not my job to fix you. It's not my job to clean you. It's not my job to make you what I want you to be. It's God's job to make you what He wants you to be. And if there's something destructive in your life that hurts you or offends Him, He will speak to you and He will help you overcome it. All I want you to do is give your life to Jesus right now. So I'm going to say a prayer one line at a time. I want you to repeat it after me. And everyone in the room is going to do it too, so you won't be alone. And no one will be like, oh, it's that guy. All right? We'll all do this together. So everyone in the room, pray with me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins. He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. Please forgive me of the things that I've done wrong. You call it sin. And help me to be all that you designed me to be. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, I receive this new life. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise in this place.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.